We're recording. So we'll start with a brief review, and then we're going to head into new sources. Today we're going to start with source 20, which appears at the top of page 9. We've been going over the topic of Shavya Anafshei Chaticha Di Isura, and over the course of the past 3 weeks, we've been developing primarily two conceptual approaches to this principle. Is it a hischaivus? Namely, it's similar to taking some kind of oath or vow or neder to prohibit something upon yourself, or is it a limited, circumscribed form of ne'emanus? You're believed to say that a woman was mezah, your wife, he comes in and says, Pesach Basov Matzasi, he claims that his wife had an extramarital affair, she is asura, he's not allowed to live with her. We say he's believed, at least as far as his own Dalet Amos are concerned, at least as far as his own prohibitions are concerned. He's not believed to put her to death, but he is believed to create that Isur. Last week, we explored some more nuanced models of Shavya Nafshei Chaticha Di Isura. Perhaps we require him to live in the fantasy world that he constructs, and we spoke about the importance of that model and its ramifications. And this week, which will probably be our final shiur on this topic, we might do a little bit of tashlumen, no pun intended, next week when we start at the very beginning, but hopefully we'll be moving on to our next topic next week. I think next week we're going to move to Ksuba de Oraisa or Ksuba de Rabbanan, which is an exciting topic. Whether a ksuba is a biblical construct or it's a rabbinic obligation, and we're going to talk about the Shita of the Rambam in particular. But today I want to do something else. Let me just preface what we're going to do today by saying that what I'm going to be saying this week and next week come mostly from shiurim that I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Rosenzweig. Until now, it has been pretty basic analysis. This comes from Rav Rosenzweig, as is next week's shiur, Be'ezus Hashem, will become from Rosenzweig as well. In the spirit of Omer Davar B'Shem Omro, in terms of quoting. Exactly. I heard this from my Rebbe. So what are we going to talk about this week?
By any chance, did you look into my question?
I did not look into your question yet, but believe neither I will. So until now, we've been discussing basically the scope of Shavya Anafshei Chaticha Di Isura. When does it work? When does it not work? Today, I want to discuss the impact of Shavya Anafshei Chaticha Di Isura. When it does work, what does it impact? Does it only create a prohibition upon the man who declares Pesach Pasua Motzasi, who declares that his wife had that extramarital affair? Or does it have ramifications beyond that? So what I want to start with is a Mishnah in Nedarim, Daf Tzadi. And that's source 20, okay? Again, it's at the top of page 9. Barishona hayu omrim. At the beginning, the rabbis would say, Shalosh nashim yotzos v'notlos kesuba. There are three women who leave their marriage, who obtain a writ of divorce, and they receive their ksuba. Shalosh nashim yotzos v'notlos ksuba. Three women receive their ksuba. Now pay attention to the cases here, because at least one of them is going to be very significant for us. It's going to be the first one. Ha'omeres tameya ani lecha. She says, I had an affair, you can no longer live with me. Okay? Shamayim beini levenach. The Shamayim is between us. Rashi says that that's a claim that he's somehow incompetent in terms of providing her children. Shamayim b'ni l'beinach. Unutula ani min ha-Yehudim. I'm taken from the Yehudim. Chazru lomar shalot tehei isha nosenet. Sorry. Those three Nashim, let's focus on the first case. Omeres tamea ani l'cha. They would receive a get, and they would be given their ksuba. Chazru lomar, netula ani min ha-Yehudim is a case where she said, I took a neder not to have a sexual relationship with any Jewish man. That's what she says. That's netula ani min ha-Yehudim.
She's not punished for having the affair?
If there are no witnesses who said that we warned her and she recalcitrantly said we don't care and did the act anyway, then there's certainly not going to be any.
Who was adulterous?
Even if she says that she was an adulteress. She cannot be killed on her own word alone.
She's allowed to make a neder.
So we'll talk about, right, he's going to annul part of it, but
if I want to say I don't want to have anything to do with Jews, I thought
is there anything against that particular nether? I mean, there's Yef Shalakaimo, but assuming that her not having a sexual relationship with any man, she's not mitzvah in Peri Verivya. Peri Verivya is a man's mitzvah. So she can take that nether. Chazru Lomar, but then they said, hold on, put the brakes on this for a moment. We saw this previously. We're concerned that maybe she's only saying this, why? Because she's unhappy with the marriage. She wants to marry somebody else. Somebody else has caught her eye. And therefore, she's making up she's fabricating this lie in order to be dismissed from this marriage. So, ha'omeres tmei ani lecha, tavi raya ledvareha. If she says that she had an affair, she needs to bring some proof. Let's leave ha'motzi mechaver aside, because this is not a...
It's a financial matter.
Let's leave ha'motzi mechaver aside. But she has to bring a proof. Ha'shamayim b'ni l'vaynach, ya'asu derech bakasha. In that case, Hashemayim Benin Levenach, where she claims that he's incompetent in certain ways, they don't force him to give a get, but they encourage him to do it. They encourage him nicely. Rashi says they make a whole seuda, and they say, why don't you free her from this marriage so that she can have children? If she says that she took a neder not to have any sexual relationship with any Jewish man, what does he do? He annuls part of the neder so that they can continue going on and having a normal marriage. So let's take that first case. Tamea Anilacha. What do you think about that? Based on what we know about Shavina Shechatil Yisura, does it make sense? Does it not make sense? At the beginning, we believed her and she received her ksuba, and he had to pay her. And then later on, they realized, wait, this might be a bad idea. She might be just making this up in order to get out of the marriage. So no longer did they believe her, and she had to bring a proof to what she was saying. Does that make sense? Does it not make sense? Which one makes more sense? At the beginning or the end? Like what? Any thoughts whatsoever?
Well, the first one, she says that I'm talking to you.
Correct.
Same thing as he said in the other case.
Good. So what would we call that? Shavya nafshei chaticha diyisura, right? Right. That's exactly, as you're saying, that would seem to be directly parallel to him claiming you had an affair, right? So is there anything, so what are your thoughts?
We would have to go along with her. We'd have to, I mean, she created her own world.
One second.
Again. Just like he did.
Right.
So we have to service our world.
Okay, good.
And we believe what we want. I mean, we go along with reality.
Okay, good.
But there were consequences when he said it about himself. He still had to give her a ksuba. So here...
Good, say it out.
There should be consequences that she does not receive.
Yeah, how can... So we're saying that until now, right, we said that we believe the person with regards to their own prohibitions. You want to make something usser upon yourself? By all means, go ahead. I'm not going to stop you from prohibiting something to yourself. But we're not going to take what you say and impose a monetary obligation on somebody else because of your own fantasy, because of your own shavya anaf sheikhaticha di isura. Here we're saying, she says, tamea anilacha. She says that she had this affair, and the chachamim initially were going to what? Force the husband to pay her ksuba. How can she create that obligation to pay a ksuba upon him through Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura? The entire premise that we've been working with all along for the 3 weeks that we've been discussing with Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura is that you can only create something upon yourself. You can't start imposing all sorts of insane obligations upon other people simply because you profess that something is the case. There are halachic standards. You need witnesses. You need some form of actual proof. You need some evidence. You can't just assert Tamei Anilacha and then force him to take a ksuba.
Well,
so that would appear to be...
He had the home already prior to her. There's always that home.
He didn't want to divorce her. He didn't want to divorce her. You're forcing my hand. You're making me divorce you because of an obligation that you created upon yourself. Now you're going to be mechayev me to give you a ksuba as well? It's crazy.
But the same way is that if she crazy. Asked for a divorce, and she's...
If she asks for a divorce, then they have to go through the whole
But she still gets her ksuba if she asks
for... If he agrees...
And he doesn't want to do it, but he gave it to her anyway.
The point is that he wants to stay with this marriage. He loves her, he's devoted to her, he wants to stick with this marriage. She's forcing his hand, and now we're going to be... Because of a shavya nafshei chaticha d'yisura. And now we're going to force him to give a ksuba as well. To me, that is... As somebody who's coming to this from studying the sugya of Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura, that's the most pressing issue in the Mishnah. It seems to be a big problem. But the Rishonim are bothered by something else. We'll see that through addressing their question, they will relate to our question as well, indirectly. So it's always important to keep an eye out for the indirect implications of any discussion in the Rishonim. But the Rishonim are bothered by something else. The Ran... In source 21, we'll read through it in a moment, starts with the assumption that she is believed. For whatever reason. He starts with the assumption that when she says, Tamea ani lecha, when she asserts that she had that affair, she's believed. Now, the Ran asks, if that's the case, How do we explain the Chazru Lomai? What you have is a case as follows. A woman is prohibited to her husband. Okay? She asserts that she had an affair. We believe her that she had an affair. Again, that being the assumption of the Ran for the moment. We'll work with his assumption for a moment. And then, at some point in history, Chazal say, we have a serious societal problem. What's our societal problem? This woman is believed, and now all sorts of women who just want to escape from their marriage are making this false assertion that they had an affair. So Chazal say, you know what? In all cases, we're going to tell them to continue living together as if they're a happily married couple. Now the Ran asks, if halachically, if api halacha,
she's
ne'emenes to say tamei ani lacha, how can Chazal tell them to go on living in a regular marriage? There's a prohibition there. How? Chazal have a societal problem. Granted, okay, I understand what the societal problem is. But how can you force a couple to live together in sin in order to resolve your societal issues, in order to resolve the general issue of Shem Anasnai Neha
Be'acher? Because there's a concept of Asur L'Bal, Asur L'Bal.
She asserts that she had the affair. We're asserting at the outset that she's believed.
But they're still married.
No. But once she has an affair,
they can no longer continue living together. They can live together in the same house. When we say live together, we're euphemistically speaking about having a sexual relationship.
Asur L'Bal, Asur L'Bal, is it deraisa thing, or is it derabanan?
Asur l'baal, asur l'boel is, we assume, is deraisa. Is deraisa? Yeah, it's a drasha. Maybe we'll do that as our next topic. Actually, maybe before we do ksuba deraisa, ksuba derabanan, we'll do one shiur on k'shem shasur l'baal, asur l'boel. We'll talk about the whole David HaMelech and Bathsheba situation, the treatment of the Gemara and ksubos. That's a very interesting discussion that appears on our daf on daf tes. So that's the question that the Ran addresses. The Ran is the famous Rabbeinu Nisim. He was one of the last great Chachmei Sfarad, and he actually wrote a running commentary on the Gemara in Nedarim, specifically on that Masechta. And most Masechtas, the Ran wrote what are called Chidushim. Chidushim is not an explanation of what the words are. It's not an explanation of what the words are. It's an analysis. It's a conceptual analysis. Those are Chidushim. And the Ran also wrote a commentary, a Pirush, on the Rif. In this particular Masechta, we don't really have Rashi, as Chaim pointed out. We have some commentary that's called Rashi, but it wasn't really written by Rashi. So the Ran took it upon himself to write a running commentary on the Gemara Nedarim, and it's really it's a pretty exciting and masterful work. There are many famous positions of the Ran. It's definitely not as concise as Rashi, but it's very rich conceptually. Reb Baruch Ber Leibovich, one of the great Talmidim, one of the great students of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, of Rav Chaim Brisker, once said that Gan Eden is a shtender, a cup of tea, and the Ran and Nedarim. That was his Gan Eden. And they, from what they say, that's actually a censored version. They say the original version was a shtender, a cigarette, and the Ran and Nedarim. But now now that more research has come out about the dangers of tobacco, they have changed it to a cup of tea and the Ran and Nedarim. Maybe you wanted both, a cigarette and a cup of tea. I guess that would have been good. So look at what the Ran says. And like I said, he's going to address his issue, but indirectly he's going to end up discussing our issue as well. V'ikal l'medak amas nisin. This is source 21. I have a problem with our Mishnah. Kivan de Medina, de Amra Tamea Anilacha, Mitzara Abaila, Commissioner Rishona. Since Api Halacha, once she says, I am prohibited to you, once she says that I had this affair, she can no longer continue living with her husband. Mishum Shalotahe no senas eneha be'acher, hea chitiruha. How can you let them continue living in this forbidden relationship, in this prohibited relationship, simply in order to resolve your societal issue of The Ran says, okay, there's still a prohibition. Where did that prohibition go? I understand your concern. I understand your consideration, but the prohibition is still in place. How can you simply ignore it? That's the Ran's question.
When does that take effect? That Asur L'Bal, Asur L'Boel.
As soon as there was the affair.
But it takes effect.
As soon as there was the affair. Yesh Misha Tirates. Three answers that are offered in the Ran. First answer. To Avagav Demidina Asira, even though halachically she is prohibited to him, this is a very radical answer. The first two answers are really radical. Sharu L'Rabbanan, Umevatli Milsa De Araisa Mishum Migdar Milsa Bekum Asay. The Ran is saying something really radical. In certain cases, Even when there is an Isser de Oraisa, if there is a very important, very pressing, broader societal consideration, the Rabbanan will actually tell you to do something Usser. And it's within their right. At least according to one...
Migdar Milsa means what exactly?
Migdar Milsa is in order to... exactly as it sounds, right, exactly. To create a gether for something, to create some... almost like an Eslas Oslash Amit Virus or Osefa.
They do it the other way all the time, right?
So Sheva Altaisa is a lot easier than Kumba Aseh. So we'll look at what the Ran says next. To gather Gadol Gadruba, Shalutin Tene Neha Be'acher, Lafkia Atzmi Mi'ad Baila. Because they're establishing a very important gather. They're making a very important, they're solving a really important societal problem so that women won't always be making up these stories to get out of their marriages. You wonder what quality the marriages were. But they're concerned about that. Parashus b'yadam lasos kein, and the chachamim have the right to do this. K'tamrinam b'yivamos, migdar milsa, shiny. When there's,
it's an isser to look at other men, and they're taking away the possibility that they'll escape.
You're saying that they're
right.
You're saying they're trying to prevent them from looking at other men while they're married. In other words, it's not that if there's a real problem in the marriage, if there's a real problem in the marriage, then fine. They should be getting a divorce. The concern is that they're going to be looking in the marketplace for other.
Well, they're stating that's the fact.
Right. Or that's the concern at least. Shema nasna
inah be'achir. When they know they have an out, they'll just
Migdar milsa shiny. It's important to make sure that they solve the societal problem. V'hikshu al zeh, and they ask the kasha on this. She'ain based in masnin la'akor davar min haTorah ela b'shev al taisa. That's what you were saying, Chaim. Inami v'komasei l'rasha b'levada liyabahar kamra l'doros lo. Basically, the question is as follows. We say, we have this principle that the Chachamim can tell you not to do a mitzvah. But generally, they can't tell you la'avor b'kumba asei to actively violate an avera. What's a famous example of where they tell you not to do a mitzvah? Probably the most famous one that comes up. Did it come up even this year? Comes up very frequently. Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos.
Right, not shofar.
We don't blow shofar. Right. Is there a mitzvah to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbos?
Right.
Absolutely. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to blow shofar. But the Chacham say don't blow a shofar because what will happen? You're going to take it outside the tchum. You're going to violate an Isser d'oraisa. You're going to violate Shabbos somehow. You're going to try to bring it. You're going to try to fix it. Whatever you might do wrong. So the Chachamim tell you, don't do a mitzvah d'oraisa. That's really remarkable when we take a moment to step back and reflect upon that. Something that we're used to because it happens not infrequently, but we're desisting from a biblically mandated mitzvah, something that God told us to do because the Chachamim said, don't do it.
See, it's interesting when it comes to bris, Shabbos.
Yeah, so Arthur, that bris is unique, right? You know that very well. You know that as we discuss in the post Hashkamash year, and we, Bezer Hashem, will discuss even further this coming Shabbos, bris has a very unique status when it comes to Shabbos. It's either Docha Shabbos or it's Matir, the Isser Shabbos. That's,
what about the fact that a woman can negate a marriage?
You're ahead of us. That's the next answer in the round. That's also a very radical answer. You're just one step ahead of us. Give me 1 second. That's going to be the round's second suggestion. So you're mechaving to the second suggestion in the round. I'll have you know it's a pretty radical suggestion, but it's the round, so you're okay. We'll speak about Afkinu in one moment. So basically, the Ran doesn't like the first answer because effectively you're saying that Beis Din is telling you to actively violate a prohibition, which even in those rare circumstances when the Chachamim tell you not to perform a mitzvah d'oraisa, they don't tell you to actively violate an avera. Okay, there's a big difference between sitting aside and not doing a mitzvah and actively violating an avera. So what is the second answer of the Ran? Second answer of the Ran is exactly what you were saying. Annulment. Udidi lo kashili. To me, this is not a kasha. Because just as we say in a number of places, everyone who gets married does so with the intent that the Rabbanon should be happy with their marriage and pleased with it. And in certain cases, the Rabbanon can go and annul a marriage. They annulled the marriage from the beginning. Now, how does that help? The nimsa, shebesha shenensa, penuya haisa, that at that moment that she had that extramarital affair, she wasn't married to him. So let's say a woman, before they got married, she had a relationship with somebody else. That doesn't create a prohibition. The prohibition is only if it's a marital affair. If she has that as we've discussed, right? That was part of our Svek Sveka. If she had that relationship with somebody else before the marriage, they can live together. They can still get married. It only creates a problem if she has the marital affair during, what? So you would still get some ksuba.
You'd still get some ksuba. You don't get a ksuba. If you never married, then the chov never was existing.
Oh, you're saying if there's afkeinu, there should
never.
Oh. Right. No. So in the Mishnah Rishona there was a ksuba. In the Mishnah Achrona we wouldn't say that there's a ksuba. In the Mishnah Achrona, again, there were two stages historically. In the Mishnah Achrona, they used afkeinu, so there wouldn't be a ksuba.
So now you're encouraging adultery.
Right. No. They won't.
Rabbi, I need to be after.
I'm not in trouble.
So if you're saying, assuming that nobody knows about it.
Right, assuming that there are no haters.
Right. Go to your rabbi.
So this is like, right, so this is a problem that the Rishonim. This is a problem that the Rishonim relate to. In other words, so the Rishonim relate to it in Gittin, I think.
Which can never have any.
So let's take a moment. All right, let's take a moment to discuss Afkeinu Rabbanan L'Kiddushin. First of all, before we get to Mordechai's question, you should know that this is a very major chiddush of the Ran. Afkeinu Rabbanan L'Kiddushin Minei is mentioned in very specific cases in the Gemara. A guy exerts significant pressure on a woman to marry her, and it's pretty clear that she didn't really want to, but she just said yes in order to acquiesce. The Rabbanan annulled the marriage. He sends a get with a shliach. The case in the beginning of Ksubis with a tznai, or if he's mevatel, basically a lot of cases pertain to what happens when there's a messenger to deliver a get, and then he's chozer and says, "Oh, really? I don't want you to deliver the get." And then she thinks she's divorced, and she's not divorced. So in those situations, the rabbanon use afkeinu rabbanon l'kiddush minei. There are very specific cases where the rabbanon use this, and as a general rule, we really do not expand it beyond the cases that the Gemara did. Now the Rishonim very sparingly do. At least some Rishonim. And this is one famous example where the Ran expands it beyond the particular cases and particular applications in the Gemara. The Rambam is extremely hesitant about Afkeinu Rabbanan L'Kiddushin Minei. He doesn't even quote it straight out. He quotes the cases in the Gemara, but he's even hesitant to use that language. This is a major issue when it comes to Gittin, the whole Misureves Get issue nowadays. When a get is being refused to a woman, and we obviously seek to find any halachic resolutions that we can to ensure that every woman who wants a divorce is given a get. So the RCA has the prenup, which has been effective. Others who were in the more, let's call it the open Orthodox camp, have suggested using Afkeinu Rabbanan L'Kiddushin Minei. Now, the reason why all mainstream poskim don't accept that is because of the limited application of Afkeinu Rabbanan L'Kiddushin Minei. So we certainly assume in the era of the Shulchan Aruch that Afkeinu is something that specifically applies to the cases where the Gemara uses it. Doesn't apply beyond that, and basically all mainstream mainstream Orthodox poskim don't see afkeinu as a route towards resolving that problem, basically for that reason. Now again, we have that just creates an onus to find other routes that are halachically acceptable and permissible and accepted by the mainstream Orthodox poskim. No, it's not mechatos. Mechatos is something. Kiddushei Talos is something different. Kiddushei Talos is something different. That's been another proposed route for annulling marriages. But there are very, very limited. Again, it's another thing that mainstream poskim do not accept unless it's done in very particular circumstances. That's the famous Rabbi Rachman resolution. There are very limited cases where it can be Kiddushei Talos. If there was a problem, this is a very sensitive case. I wasn't involved with it, but I was just the typist for one of the poskim who was involved with it, where it was a Haredi couple. They had only gone out 3 times, Kederach HaChasidim, and that's a lot of times, but the person had a very, very severe psychological disability, which he was able to hide for those 3 dates. And she did not know about it. It was definitely present at the point that they were dating. And she married him under the premise that he was a neurologically typical individual. So in that case where something was hidden from the very beginning and she didn't know about it, we could talk about Kiddushei Talos. You can't talk about Kiddushei Talos if something emerges later. In other words, she marries a guy and he's really wealthy. He's worth billions of dollars. The next day after the marriage, he loses all his money in the stock market. Now he's a pauper. So it's very unfortunate for her. She thought she was marrying a billionaire and now she's not. But that's not a Kiddushei Talos. In other words, you can't say, if I would have known you will lose your money, then I wouldn't have married you. It's if he pretends he's a billionaire and he really doesn't own anything, that's a Kiddushei Talos. He's misleading her.
Problem is, it's in and of itself if you really expand it. Because she would have said, well,
it's not a Talos. So that's right, exactly. So that was Rav Rachman's suggested resolution. Rav Soloveitchik was if I was alive, I wasn't aware of this. But from the report, Rav Soloveitchik was very upset about it. And he did not accept it. And once Rav Soloveitchik did not accept it, basically the RCA did not accept it either. And that was the end of that. So that's why we end up with the prenup, which so far has been very effective. But in any event, that's Afka Inu Rabbanan Lakidush Aminei. Mordechai, what was your question? Oh, so what about, the Rishonim discussed this. What about a case where she had an affair, and you know what, he wants to have Rachmanos on her so that whatever they want, the rabbinical courts won't come down on her, so they make a kanunya to do something that will create a situation of Afka Inu Rabbanan Lakidush Aminei. She says, send me a get, and then be mevatel the shliach. Which is one of the cases of Afka Inu Rabbanan Lakidush Aminei. So basically, you know, we are artificially creating a situation of Afka Inu. So that's an issue that's addressed by the Rishonim. I don't really, to be honest, remember what the Rishonim say about that issue. But it is an issue that is discussed, that much I can tell you. That's the Ron's second answer. Let's come to the Ron's third answer. The third answer is going to be the one that speaks to our issue. The Acherim Tirtzu. Bold, underline, four lines up. The Mishnah Rishona Lo Dina Ketani. Our whole premise through the first two answers is that when she says Tamea Anilacha, when she asserts that she had the affair, she's believed. That was our whole premise through the first two answers. And what's the Ron doing in the third answer? He's rejecting the premise. No way. No way. She's not believed. To me, Dina, Vade ein ha'isha ne'emenes lomar tamea anilacha lehafkia atzma mibayla shehimishu bedeslo. She can't just assert tamea anilacha to ruin this marriage, to destroy this marriage.
But if it actually happened?
Ella, that's a different story. Ella mishum deha milsa de tamea anilacha kasifa laka. Sorry. What? No. Sorry. Before we read the next line. Why isn't she believed to do that? Why can't she be mafkia atzma mibayla?
It would be enough for everybody.
Because it's... No, not because that's the set. That's the shema nasa neha be'acher. But based on based on what we've been talking about, it's what? Why? What's the belief based on? What principle? Shavi anashe chaticha di isura. So you can't impact him. You can't force him to give a ksuba.
As we said
at the outset, that's effectively what the Ran is saying now. So how did they believe her in the beginning? What was the reason they believed her in the first place? Ela mishum deha milsa de tamei anilacha kasifala. It's embarrassing for her to come forward and say that I had an affair. We understand that, right, sociologically. That's just an embarrassing thing to publicly admit. So therefore, even though Shavi Anafshei Chaticha D'Yisura wouldn't suffice, because we assume that she wouldn't embarrass herself publicly unless it were true, we believe her. Takinu B'Mishmar Narishona Leheminuha. We made the special takana to believe her. And now, two lines up, the last full line, Di'ilav de'kushta ke'amra, because if she weren't telling the truth, lo havis mezalzal anafsha, lo meimar hachi, she wouldn't have embarrassed herself to come forward and say that she was having this affair. Okay? So to sum up for our purposes, the Ron gives three answers. What's important for us is that the answers work with very different assumptions. Give me 1 second. The first two answers assume that when she says tamea anilacha, she's believed. And he is forced to divorce her, and he is forced to give her a ksuba. Right? The last answer says, no way! She's not believed. Okay, we had a special svara that maybe it was embarrassing for her, so she wouldn't come forward otherwise, unless she was telling the truth. That's why we believed her. But just if she asserts tamei anilacha, would there be ne'emanos there? No way there wouldn't be ne'emanos. Why? Because it's based on shavi anafshei chaticha di'isura. And shavi anafshei chaticha di'isura can impact me. I can create prohibitions upon myself. I can't force the Baal. I can't force somebody else to give me a ksuba. I can't impose monetary obligations upon somebody else. So we very much understand the last answer in the Ron. The last answer in the Ron is what we would have anticipated from the outset. Don't tell me she's believed. She's not believed. She can create prohibition upon herself. How can she be mechayev him to give a ksuba? Yet, the first two answers in the Ron assume what?
She's believed.
Shavya anafshei chaticha di yisura can force the husband to pay her a ksuba. That's remarkable, no? Is that short of remarkable?
Just missing one point.
Yeah.
I don't know, so maybe people don't really understand it. You say there's a principle of asa labal v'asa labal.
Right.
Is that because of shavya nashe? Are you saying that?
No.
So
let's say
the Indian of asa labal v'asa labal.
Two witnesses testify that a woman had an affair.
No witnesses. There's no such Indian of asa labal v'asa labal. That's depending on two witnesses, because you were talking about that, but you didn't discuss that in context.
Meaning,
people were assuming.
No.
I was listening to this and assuming that there's an Indian of Asal Bab, Asal
Bab. No. Let's say, okay, let's deal with the most basic case. The most basic case, right, or the most basic case is witnesses see it, okay? Let's say they didn't give her hasra, they didn't, so that she's not going to be killed, but they saw that she had an affair, and they testify that she had an affair.
It's not.
Exactly. Then she's asur labal and asur labal.
So this is not
another circumstance is what about the boel? This is the question that Tosfos raises on David HaMelech.
If he admits it.
Let's say David HaMelech, the Boel knows. The Boel knows that he was that he had a relationship with this woman.
He could have.
No, forget about saying anything. The Boel, he's the guy who with whom she had this affair.
If that is no Indian on our.
One second, no. But you're asking me what the circumstance is of Asur LaBaal, Asur LaBoel. Then he's Chozer B'tshuva.
Right.
Okay, he's Chozer B'tshuva.
He didn't know.
Of course
he's married.
No, he knew she was married. He knew what he was doing. Then the next day he's Chozer B'tshuva, and now he wants to know what to do. So he can no longer have a relationship with this woman. So that's the case. That's the case that Tosfos asked about David HaMelech. David HaMelech knew about Bathsheba.
Really,
how could he go and marry her?
So our Gemara is only on Shabbat Nachshon Chatif Lisur.
Yeah. No, I mean it's relevant to our Gemara insofar as the notion of Asur LaBaal means that she can't continue living with her husband after she had an affair. That's the important thing for our Gemara.
But that criteria depends upon somebody seeing it besides her.
No. If she says again, if he asserts that this is what we've been dealing with the whole time. The Baal, the husband, says, Pesach Pasuach Matzasi.
No, we're talking, this is not his Pesach.
Right, or she says, I had an affair.
Yeah.
The assumption would be that she can no longer continue living with her husband.
Why? Under what reason? Asul Baal, Asul Baal?
Yeah.
Or Shavi Nafshe Chatikha Tisura? Makes a big
No. Shavi Nafshe, in other words, Chaim, Shavi Nafshe Chatikha Tisura, Shavi Nafshe Chatikha Tisura means that she's believed when she says, I had an affair. Now, what Isser is it? How do we know she had an affair? What's our standard of evidence?
I'm asking you that.
So the answer to that is Shavya Nafshe Chatich Disura.
Okay.
So there are two different things.
Shavya Nafshe Chatich Disura is the reason why she's Asa Labal.
Right.
Okay,
but,
fine.
Okay.
If that's the case.
If it needs further clarification, well, we can clarify later, but you need both. You need both. That's,
okay.
Shavya Nafshe is what provides the evidence, and
okay,
but we have a big problem here.
She's the one who created this.
Yeah.
So she's Asa to the Baal, but the Baal can live with her.
Right.
Theoretically
correct. So how exactly can we force him to... Right, so why are we forcing him to divorce her and pay her exuba? That's exactly our question. In other words, we're assuming for the... We discussed in the past that there are three different views on the relation on her Isser. But we're assuming for now that Shem Shasur LaBaal Kach Asur LaBaal means also that she has a prohibition towards living with him. That's, for simplicity's sake, that's what we're assuming for now. She is prohibited to live with him. After having that affair.
So you just created a million cases where nobody wants to just say Shavya Nafshe and cause other people to pay and do this.
That's exactly our problem. How can we possibly have a case where Shavya Nafshe imposes obligations on somebody else? I don't know if we're going to get to the full answer today, but we'll do what we can. And if you turn back for a moment to page 8, and we noted this at the very end of last week, we won't do all of this inside, but our running assumption about Shavya Nafshe that we worked with for simplicity's sake for the first 3 weeks is actually not so pasha. For until now, we've been assuming that when he says Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, he asserts my wife had an affair, right? We've been assuming that he is not believed to make her lose her ksuba. But that's not so pasha. There's definitely one day in the Gemara that says Ne'eman lahafsid ksubasa, that he's believed to remove her ksuba. Now, it happens to be that day in the Gemara says it for a different reason. Chazaka inon torea pasuda mafsida. The Gemara says that he's not going to make a whole wedding party and then just try to get rid of her the night afterwards. That's what we generally assume. So he's believed. So we believe him entirely. If he's saying it, he must be telling the truth. So that's a different idea. But according to the Baalei HaTosfos, it seems, you can read Tosfos in multiple ways, at least the way Rav Rosenzweig read Tosfos, is that even Shavya Anafshe Chaticha Di Isura, which we've been assuming all along is only sufficient to create a prohibition upon oneself, is actually sufficient to make her lose her ksuba. It doesn't just impact you, it impacts others as well. That's a pretty crazy idea, and we're going to have to discuss why that's the case. Now, just for a moment, going back to our original Chakira, which side would this recommend, which side would this suggest is true? If we're talking about Hischaivos, Ne'amanos,
it says she leaves with her ksuba.
I'm getting two answers. What do you mean she leaves with her ksuba? Is it Eschaivos or Ne'amanos?
Let's see.
Mordechai?
Ne'amanos, because
why?
Because it's enough to make her lose her ksuba.
Yeah, of course. If it's going to have ramifications for anyone else, it can't be a personal neder, it can't be an oath.
Right.
If it's a schaivus, right? If I'm saying it's a neder, then okay, fine. I took a neder upon myself. I prohibited apples, you know, myself to eat apples. I can't make it usher for you to eat any apples. It can't have ramifications for somebody else. It has to be ne'emanus. Now, even still, we've been assuming, even if we say that it is ne'emanus, that we believe him, we've been saying all along that we believe him for his own private domain. This is still a big problem. Because in general, you should require what in order to be believed on somebody else? What's the general? The standard of evidence should be two witnesses. So we still have a problem. But it's very clear that this whole discussion of impacting others through Shavi Anav Shechatecha Di Surah only works if this is Ne'emanos and not Eschaivos. If it's Eschaivos, then we can't even begin to discuss impacting others through your Shavi Anav Shechatecha Di Surah.
You said that according to one man, if you have Eidim, it drops out. If there was Eidim to the
Eidim Keneged the Shavi Anafshe.
Yeah, so it drops out. His
Shavi Yeah.
So here, if she has it, the only way she's.
That was Tosri Azaki. Yeah.
But over here, while the woman, she's saying, I had an affair, and we say by Eidim, and it creates her Shavi Anafshe.
We don't have Eidim against her.
We have Eidim that are bringing her.
Hold off on this one. We don't have Eidim against her, so it's a different case. Hold off. We'll talk about it after, because we don't have Eidim against her here. Let me just, because we're going to be short on time. I know we're going to be short on time. We're going to only set up the problems this week, and you'll have to stay tuned for the answers next week. So that's one big problem when we speak about the ramifications of Shavi Anav Shechatecha Di Surah. A second huge problem stems from a stira in the Rambam, a contradiction in the Rambam, which is always our source for discovering new conceptual principles in the halacha. And I'm going to share with you Rav Rosenzweig's approach to a contradiction in the Rambam. This is on page 10. We're going to take a look at sources 27 and 28, and maybe 29. I don't know if we're going to get to all the sources in this packet. We already discussed the sources on 11 and 12. That famous source that we saw last week. Let's talk a little bit about this contradiction in the Rambam. Now, we're talking about the ramifications of Shavi Anav Shechatecha Di Surah. Our first issue was, can Shavi Anav Shechatecha Di Surah impact others? Our next issue is as follows. Let's say someone does Shavi Anav Shechatecha Di Surah. He asserts that his wife is prohibited to him. Okay? And now he continues living with her anyway. Can we punish him or can we not?
No.
We can't?
Why would we
or wouldn't we?
Why would we?
Would we punish him?
Yeah. He's over on
the Ne'emanus is out the window.
What do you mean? Oh, you're saying once he did it, we should uproot his Ne'emanus. Let's say he says, yeah, we confront him about it. He says, I'm a machote, chatosi avisi
chashati. What's the
chet? He says that she had an affair. He's now that Shavi Anav Shechatecha Di Surah dictates that he is now no longer allowed to live with his wife. He does so anyway. Will we give him the proper onesh and beis din that we should be giving him, or will we not? Or another case, okay? She says, I'm married to Ploni. Ploni says, I've never seen you before in my life. Okay, we know that that's Shavi Anav Shechatecha Di Surah. She says she was married to Ploni, therefore she now can no longer create a relationship with anyone else. She's bound to Ploni. She claims that she's married to him. And then she goes along and sleeps with someone else. And she had Eidim and she had Asra and the whole nine yards. Will we punish her? Will we give her Misa? Or will we not? So let's think about this. How would we approach this issue? If I'm posing this to you in a vacuum, right? How would we approach this issue? Good, exactly. Morty's coming at it the right way. Let's think about the nature of Shavi Anav Shechatecha Di Surah. Let's think about the nature of this principle, right? If this is just his chayvos, if it's like a neder, we don't really believe her that she's married to Ploni. We don't really believe him that his wife had an affair. He took a neder upon himself to be oser. Okay, then we're not going to put her to death for that. It's a bad thing. You don't want to violate the darim. You know, that's tov shaloti dor misheti dor velosa shalem. That's that you don't want to violate that, his chayvos. But we're not going to put her to death for that. We don't really believe her that she's married to Ploni. We don't believe her at all. She took a nether upon herself to prohibit everyone. If it's Ne'emanos, right, then we can start talking.
But if it's Ne'emanos. Do they really have Ne'emanos?
So
it's not a real nemon.
That's so you're hitting on exactly the question. We could basically we can only begin discussing this if what? If it's nemon. So if it's a schaivos, the discussion doesn't even get off the ground.
Okay.
Okay.
But what kind of nemon is it? Is it just
so let's take a look at what the Rambam has to say about it. Source 27. This is Isurei Bia, Perak Aleph, Halachos Chaf, and Chaf Aleph. Misha Huchzak, Bisha'er Basar, Doninbo, Al Piha Chazaka. Somebody for whom there is a Chazaka, that they are relatives, we judge them based on that Chazaka. Afal Pi She'ein, I'll explain what this means in a moment. Afal Pi She'ein Sham Raya Berura Shezeh Karov. Umalkin, Vesorfin, Vesoklin, Vecholkin, Al Chazaka Zu. It's well known in the community that that Dina and Shimon, or let's not use Dina and Shimon, that Reuven and Dina are brother and sister. Now, we don't have witnesses that were at the moment of birth that asserted that they both came from the same mother. We don't have witnesses who you know, saw them coming out of the uterus and said, oh, we know for a fact that they're sisters. But it's well known in the community that they are brother and sister, okay? If they would have an incestuous relationship with one another, we would punish them accordingly, even though we don't have witnesses on the moment of birth for Reuven and Dina. If we have a chazaka, Ketzad, Rambam gives us an example. Hare shehuchzak, shezu achoso, obito, o imo. If it's known in the community that this woman is his sister or his daughter or his mother, ubal habeedim, and then they sleep together with witnesses. Hareza loke onisraf oniskal va'avafisha incham raya berura shezui achoso imo obito ela b'chazaka bilvad. Even though we don't have witnesses that were at the wedding per se. We don't have witnesses that saw the moment of birth that can testify that this is the father, this is the mother, this is the sister. If it's well known in the community that that is their relationship, then we will punish them accordingly if they have that incestuous relationship. Okay. So you're saying Edom testify against it. So presumably we would follow the Edom, I think, in that case.
I know that.
Edom are stronger than a Chazaka.
I'm the doctor.
And I know, I was there, I delivered the babies, and I know they're from different mothers, even though... Okay. Yeah. Edom is, like we said, Edom is the strongest, as generally speaking, with potential, you know, exceptions, maybe like Hodas Baldin. In most circumstances, Eidos is the gold standard. Eidos is the gold standard of... okay, but not against Eidos. Halacha Chaf Aleph. Skip down to Halacha Chaf Aleph. Okay? Ish v'isha sheba'u mimedinas hayam. You have a man and woman who come from some foreign country. We've never seen them before. They join our community. Hu omer zos ishti v'hi omer zebaili. He says, this is my wife. She says, this is my husband. We got married with a perfect kosher wedding. If they've been in the community for 30 days, and now everybody knows that they are husband and wife because of the fact that they've been living together in this community as husband and wife for 30 days, then we'll punish them if there's any impropriety. Okay? Aval b'tocha lamid yom, within 30 days, ein horgan aleha misha meshesish. Before we reach that 30-day mark, when all we're relying on is what? Their word. And what would we call their word in halachic parlance? Shavi anafshe chaticha di isura. We do not punish them. So if I asked you based on this Rambam, do we punish based on shavi anafshe chaticha di isura or do we not? The answer is?
No.
No, we do not. If there's a chazaka, then we'll punish based on that chazaka. Once that, you know, communal, I guess, consensus has been established, then we will punish based
but
on that.
Cases have been
but just based on his word and her word, just based on Shavi Anaf Shechaticha Di Yisura, we will not punish them.
Well, our cases were one side, not both sides.
Both of them are saying that they're both married.
That makes no difference?
No, it's good to point out. It's always good to point out differences, as we'll discuss in a moment. Whenever we want to be mechalek between two different things, whenever Tosas Eska Kasha and Rashi, you want to first just list what the differences are, and then you can start determining which ones are legally significant. Or when I speak to high school kids, I say, what are the differences, and why do the differences make a difference? First, just tell me what the differences are between the two cases. Just catalog the differences. Then, let's pick out which of those differences are inconsequential, which are technical, and which ones are central, which ones are legally significant and important. And we're going to do that in a moment, because as we will see, the Rambam is actually going to contradict himself in a moment. So it's a good thing to point out. Let's assume for the moment that that's not the issue. Turn to source 28. Misha Bob is man hazeh. A guy comes nowadays, based on Mikdash is no longer around. He asserts, I'm a Kohen. Standard case, right? You're in shul, shout out, is anybody a Kohen? He says, I'm a Kohen. Ain't no ne'eman. He's not believed. Now, okay, what are the ramifications nowadays? Okay. Guy comes to the community, we've never seen him before, and he just declares he's a Kohen, he's not believed. Ain't ma'alin oso l'kahuna al pi atzmo. And we don't consider him a Kohen just because he asserts that he's a Kohen. Lo yikra b'Torah Rishon, we don't give him Rishon. That's what everyone really wants when they say they're a Kohen. Everybody wants Rishon. Lo yisa es kapav, we don't allow him to say Berchas Kohenim on Yontif, or in Eretz Yisrael every day. Lo yochal b'kotshei agvul, ad sheyihi lo eid echad. He needs an eid echad. He needs a witness to assert that he's a Kohen. Aval, however, what part of Kahuna are we going to believe him about? On what? Not why? Because of Shavya Nafshei Chatik Yisura. Aval, the Rambam says, Oser Atzmo Begrusha Vezona Vahalala. He has created certain prohibitions upon himself. We know that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee. He has created certain prohibitions upon himself. Ve'eno Metame Lemesim. And he's not allowed to enter a cemetery. We know that a Kohen is not allowed to enter a cemetery. Tim Nasa Onitma. Look at the next word. Imnasa onitma loke. If he does these things, what do? We give him malchus.
Doing
duchnet,
is it an
esrog? No, that's exactly the point. In other words, he's believed shavei nafshei chatichah the isura. He's believed regarding the isurim, but not to get himself rishon. What did the Rambam just say? The Rambam said we punish him, we give him malchus because of shavei nafshei chatichah the isura. How does that work at all with the Rambam that we just read? Okay, granted, it's 20 chapters earlier, but somebody's going to remember it, right? Okay. In Perek Aleph of Bichos Yisurah Biyah, where the Rambam says that if Shavya Nafshei Chaticha Yisurah, then we don't punish you. We don't punish you until there's a chazaka. There's a well-established consensus in the community that they're brother and sister, that they're husband and wife. If it's just on their word, zuck the Rambam, they're not going to be punished. And then the Rambam comes along and tells us that when it comes to the Kohen, we're going to punish him. And we're not the first people to notice this problem. Look at source 29, the Mishnah Melech, one of the commentaries, the famous commentaries in the Rambam, the notes that came on the Rambam. Vim naso nitma loke, divir rabbinim zal tzrichin beyor. The words of the Rambam need serious explanation here. Shasasam bekasav naso nitma loke. Because he just writes that as long as he asserts that he's a Kohen, and he goes into a cemetery, he gets malchus. V'al karchach, look at the underline, v'al karchach b'dehufso kvar mayri. The Mishnah Melech says, this Rambam doesn't make any sense. You can't assert that the Rambam is going to punish just on their word, because that explicitly contradicts what he wrote in the first paragraph of Vilchos Yisurei Biyah. So it must be the Rambam didn't fill in all the details. Really, he means there's a chazaka in place. Really, there's a communal consensus in place that this guy is a Kohen.
Which case? The guy who's going?
Even in the case of the Kohen.
You're going.
So he's going to say that if he didn't wait 30 days, that he wouldn't be.
Yeah, that's exactly what he says. Look, if you look later in the piece, he asserts that if it's been less than 30 days, we won't give him malchus. Now, obviously, right? That's something that you only say out of a sense of difficulty, right? That's not in the Rambam. The Rambam never says that the Kohen, you have to wait 30 days in order to punish the Kohen. He never writes that. The Mishnah Melech is so bothered by the contradiction between Perek Aleph and Perek... Exactly the point. Rambam never mentions a chazaka. The Mishnah Melech is throwing a chazaka into Perek Chaf because he's so bothered from the contradiction by the contradiction from Perek Aleph.
It's not really a contradiction because in this Perek over here, it's two consenting people putting on...
That's what Chaim was saying before. There's like a double... There's a double Shavya Nafshe.
Yeah.
But that should be even worse. In other words, that's where the Rambam said that you don't... exactly. That's where the Rambam said you don't punish until 30 days. If anything, the double Shavya should be stronger. That's where you should say that you're punished right away. And the Rambam says that you got to wait 30 days. So we have two serious problems here. Two serious problems. And I have a feeling that we're not going to answer them tonight, but at least we'll try to touch on an answer. One, how can Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Yisura possibly impact other people? Our whole premise to the entire sugya is that you're saying something that impacts you, and impacts you only. There's no way that you can try to impose obligations on somebody else based on your own fabrication. And yet, we have a Ran, we have a Tosfos, that are asserting that Shavya Nafshe Chatik Yisura can impose monetary obligations upon others. Problem number one. Problem number two, let's not focus on others for a moment, let's focus on the person himself. Can we punish him or can we not? The Rambam seems to explicitly contradict himself. In one case, he writes, you don't punish them until there's a chazaka, until there's a community consensus. You don't punish them based on just their own word. In another case, he's writing, punish and punish. Go ahead. Do it. He gets Malkus.
Well, first of all, the punishments are two different punishments.
Excellent. Okay, so let's start by cataloging the differences, and that one is the one that Rav Rosenzweig thinks is the key one. Let's start for a moment by cataloging the differences. So Chaim notes that in the case of the Kohen, what's the punishment?
Malkus.
In the case of the Isha, it's Misas Basin. We're putting her to death. Okay? Now, that in and of itself could be sufficient to justify the distinction. Maybe when it comes to just putting somebody to death, we have higher standards. We just have a higher standard. We're not going to put somebody to death on a whim just because they made a stupid comment once in their life. We try to not kill people for that. So Malkus, okay, that will give him based on his own word. But Misa, we're not going to kill a man or woman because of just Shavya Nafshe Chatik Yisur. That could justify it in itself. But we will try to develop in a more precise way, perhaps in a more halachic way, why the difference in the onesh should... And this also that wouldn't help us also for our problem regarding impacting other people. Right?
Well, each one impacts themselves. When you have two people, you can say... It doesn't make it... Like
first she says to me, Ani Lecha, now he's chayv to pay ksuba.
No. Which one? Oh, in the first case.
Exactly. So that's not going to help us answer that. So we still have to address that issue. Well, and we'll see. Maybe we can resolve the issue here as well. Now the question is, should we try to resolve it now? It might take more than like the 4 minutes that we have remaining, or should we just leave it for next week? I don't know. Is there a... I'm sorry? That's true.
You have to go back home.
So... Is it okay if we leave it till next week? Will people be upset if we leave it till next week? What would we'll...
Only Danny's not going to be here.
You're not going to be here.
It's okay.
Okay, so we'll... I hate to leave you on a cliffhanger, but I think the answer deserves more... Write it down and send it out to everyone. No, I will do that next week, but we'll have it in Shir next week. I think the answer deserves more than the 4 minutes we have remaining. So, Be'ez Hashem, we'll leave off with that. And we will pick up again next week, hopefully resolving these issues and moving on to our next sugya.
Gentlemen,